Good morning and welcome this morning to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We look forward to a blessed time together, and may the Lord bless you as you follow Him in this coming, in this new year. It's already here, right? Amazingly enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you for who you are, and we want to praise your name with thanksgiving as we enter this new year. Lord, we seek you for your grace, your mercy to sustain us, and for your Spirit to guide us. Thank you for giving us your holy word, which changes not, which is faithful, true from the beginning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to give our attention to it as we journey through this year and through this life. Father, may we follow you with a tender heart, with simple obedience. Lord, may you renew our faith in you in these challenging and turbulent times in our world. Lord, I pray that our lives would be anchored and that we would be children of light. Lord, we thank you for this. Father, we do ask your blessing upon this service. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would take your Bible this morning, we're going to go to the book of Numbers. In the Old Testament, Numbers and chapter 13. Numbers 13, as we talk about faith and courage required to follow Jesus. Faith and courage required to follow Jesus. I sure hope that that is your desire, to follow Jesus in this new year. I trust that you have a sincere desire to listen to the Lord and to obey the Lord, to follow the Lord. And we want to understand from God's word the vital importance of having faith and courage. So let's, I'll give you a little background. First of all, here in Numbers 13, we'll begin with verse 1. Actually, verse 1 here, we have the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And then it delineates the different ones, which are 12, one from each tribe of Israel. And then we'll go down to verse 17. The Bible says, "And Moses sent them," that's those 12 spies, "and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain." And he continues to tell them where to go and how to check out that land of Canaan, the promised land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll dive into the message this morning. Father, we thank you for your great purpose that you are working out in our life, in our world. Thank you that we have a great opportunity to be a part of something far bigger than ourselves, but of your plan. Thank you that your purposes for us as each individual gathered here or joining online, your first and foremost purpose for every human being is that they would trust Jesus as their Savior. We know that without the Savior, the damnation of the lake of fire would be our final doom. Lord, we pray and thank you for the salvation that's through Christ, his coming of which we just celebrated. In such humility, he came to give his life for us. And Lord, we're thankful for that, that there is no human being that need go to hell, that need the lake of fire, because we have a Savior. And whosoever will can come, and by simple faith can be saved. Lord, we're thankful for that. And I pray that if there is anybody listening today, whether here in the sanctuary, whether online, whether at a later date even, someone who does not know Jesus, man, woman, child, that they would see their need, see that they're a sinner, and that today might be that day when they turn to Christ in simple faith and call on Jesus to save them. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that lie before us in this year. Help us to, with faith and courage, move forward to follow you. May we not draw back in unbelief. May we not harden our hearts and fail to listen. But may we, with courage, take you at your word. May we be willing to step out to do the will of God. Lord, help us to see clearly your will for each of our lives. Help us to be courageous to obey. Father, we pray for our nation at this time. We pray for our president, that you would give him wisdom. Lord, we know that you set up one and take down others. And you have also taught us and commanded us to pray for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so, for our president, we pray at this time that you'd give him wisdom in these challenging days. We pray that wise counsel would surround him, and we pray that truth would prevail in our nation. Lord, we know that we're in a battle between good and evil. And we know that it seems as though the godly man ceaseth and fails from among the children of men. But there are those. Lord, we pray that you'd help in our land those to stand for the right and for truth, be it judges and authority, be it legislators, be it others in elected office. Father, we lift them up before you. Lord, we do pray also for your church, the body of Christ, the people of God. We pray that we would be the salt and the light in this dark world that you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we are in Numbers 13. The nation of Israel, having left Egypt, God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt by a mighty hand, those 10 plagues that were poured out on Pharaoh, who had hardened his heart against God, who refused to let the people of Israel go. And God delivered them and brought them up, and they came up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army pursuing after them yet another time to overtake them. But God, in so many different ways, protected them, and he opened the Red Sea up before them, and they went through on dry land. Hundreds of thousands of people, yea, a million, and went through on dry land. And after them pursued Pharaoh with all his chariots and horses and military men of might. And the Bible says they were drowned in the depths of the Red Sea as God began to pull the wheels from off their chariots. And the Bible says they drove them hard, but they perished. God did that mighty thing, and many other mighty things God did to deliver his people and to provide for his people in the wilderness. And they came up to Mount Sinai. They received the law, the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone from God's own hand. And they, after about a year and a half from leaving Egypt, they come up to a place called Kadesh Barnea. If we grab that map. And Kadesh Barnea, down over here to the south of Canaan land, and they were encamped there. And it's at this place where these 12 spies were commissioned to go. And they knew this was a land that God had promised them. In fact, I looked up, and I'm sure I've missed some of the references to it, but I looked up some of the references to God's promise of the land, the Canaan land. It was land where Abram went out to sojourn. Remember, after he left his father's house at 75 years of age, after he journeyed away from his family and went out to a place that he didn't know where he was going, but God would show him. He believed God, and he sojourned in the land of Canaan. And God said, I will give you this land. And, you know, I looked, I believe it was nine. And there could be more. There definitely could be more. But there were nine times the scripture in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus reference the promise that God gave of giving this land to the people of Israel. I believe at least five of them were given directly to Abraham in Genesis over several chapters there, different verses that we don't have time to look at all of them, but how about we go to a couple? We'll go to one here in chapter 17 of Genesis. Genesis 17, and notice verse 8. Genesis 17 and verse 8. And the Bible says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And so we see one of the times where the promise was given there to Abraham. Also notice Genesis 50, the last chapter of Genesis. Genesis 50. And this is Joseph recalling the promise of God. So this was a promise that was verbalized to later generations. They believed this. They looked for God to do what he had said. And so in Genesis 50, notice verse 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die." He was an old man at this time. And he says, "And I die, and God will surely visit you." Here they are in Egypt's land at this time. And he says, "God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And so the land, a physical, literal parcel of ground on planet Earth, is the obvious fulfillment of this prophecy, of this promise. And so time and again, this is talked about, the land. Notice over in Exodus chapter 6, here's Moses. Exodus chapter 6, being reminded of this promise. Exodus 6, verse 6, "Therefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And actually, the capital L-O-R-D there is the underlying name, Jehovah. I am Jehovah. I am the covenant God. I am the self-existent one. I give my word. It's a pretty good promise. Again, in Leviticus chapter 20, I'll notice just one more instance. We're obviously not touching on all of the instances of the reiteration of this particular promise, but chapter 20, notice verse 22. Chapter 20 of Leviticus and verse 22. "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the commandments," in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." And so he promises and reiterates, and it's obvious that God is aware that there were other people. Now, obviously, God's aware, but I mean, God made it aware that I know there's going to be other people there. You're gonna have to go in there and fight for the land, but I'm giving it to you. It's yours. It's my will that you have it. I will fight for you. It is my promise. Wow. And so, we come to Numbers 13. They have come now, finally, after a year and a half approximately, perhaps 2 years. They have left Egypt. God delivered them. They are here, coming near to the promised land. The time is right for them to enter. The Lord here in verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. And so these 12 men go into the land, and they actually go in for 40 days, and they search out the land. Let's notice verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And boy, they were good. The Bible makes that very clear later on. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. These are words to describe the fruitfulness and blessing of the land. It just flows with these wonderful things. This is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. I mean, there's just a lot of people there. We just wasn't what we expected. And by the coast of Jordan, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. Whoa. Hold on, guys. Hold on. Be still. Be quiet. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. First of all, this morning, I want you to see that faith and courage are required to follow Jesus. And number one, be still and take courage. Be still and take courage. Oh, friends, as we embark on 2021, yes, there will be giants to face. There are going to be challenges. Maybe it's in your own life, in your own flesh, the lusts of your flesh, which are contrary to God. And you say, but I can't. You know what these people said? They said, let's go back to Egypt. Notice the next verse 31. But the men that went with him, that's the other, basically the 10 others. The men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You see, all they could see is their power and lack of it. And they big giants in the land, right? That's what they could see. They didn't see God. God wasn't in the picture. God's promise wasn't in the picture. Oh, I'll tell you what, if you dare try to face 2021 and live a life to be a Christian, to follow Jesus without God in the picture, you will fail. You cannot live holy. You can't live godly. You can't reach others for Jesus. You can't get victory over the stubborn sins of your flesh in your own strength. Try as hard as you will. Have as much desire and passion as you will for, I'm going to do better. I'm making some resolutions. You'll fall flat on your face because you can't. And if your focus is on the problems and on these giants, you will cower in fear and certainly not walk in victory. And so the requirement of faith and courage. Notice verse 32 here, chapter 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now they're starting to exaggerate now. And you know, we tend to do that. We sometimes, by our own thinking, make problems worse than they are, right? We describe them as, well, we just can't. I mean, it's impossible for me to get victory. I mean, it's just impossible. I mean, I'm me, I'm not you, right? Well, they weren't thinking rationally here either. Not only was God not in the focus of their thoughts, rather the giants and the hardships. And so, middle of verse 32, it says, they say here, these 10 spies without faith, they say, the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Well, now that might be the case. Probably was the case. Men of great stature. That means they're big, they're tall. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now there again, they're exaggerating. How do they know what the people were thinking about them? I thought they were spies. How did they know that the people of the land thought they were grasshoppers, right? They're assuming. They're jumping to conclusions. They're painting the picture without rationality and without God in the picture, all right? Well, verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. The people are just crying, and oh, what a disappointment. I mean, this is terrible. Here, this is what we were looking for. We were looking to come into this good land, this wonderful place God promised to us. And verse 2 of chapter 14, and all the children of Israel murmured. That's a type of word of complaining. They just started bellyaching, murmuring about everything. They murmured against Moses, the leader, and against Aaron and the whole congregation. Said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Boy, it'd been better to just die and not even get to this place. We should have just given up. It's too hard to live for God in 2021. I should have just quit following Jesus earlier. I'm kind of, adding some things here, just trying to apply it here and understand the thinking and how it would play out. But you know what? It's worth it all to live for Jesus. It's worth it all to leave Egypt. It's a picture of salvation, coming out of the bondage of sin and God's deliverance, and coming now to the opportunity of the place of God's blessing, a place of victory. But I'll tell you what, to live for Jesus in that place of victory in Canaan land, in the Christian life, it's going to require faith and courage, because there are still giants to be faced. As long as you're living and breathing God's air on this earth, there are giants to face. We are still battling against the flesh, against sin, against all of these foes. And so faith is still required. Courage is yet needed, because the battles are still raging. We can say, ah, boy, we should have just never started living for God. I mean, we should have never tried to lead our family to follow God. I mean, this is just too hard. There's just too much opposition. Let's just give up. That's essentially what the attitude was here, Why did we even come here? I wish we would have died earlier. That's what they're talking like in their murmuring. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? Now they start accusing God. Why has he brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? And our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? We should have just gone back to the world. And verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And they begin to cry out to God. Point number one, we must be still and take courage. With all the noise in this world, we need to take time to be quiet with our God. All of the access to information we have today, all of the voices, all of the books, most importantly, you must carve out quiet time
for the book of books, for the Word of God. You see, again and again, at least 9 times I identified just in my study here, there very well could be more. 9 times God had promised, I'm giving you this land I'm giving to you, I'm giving you this land, I will give it to you. Again and again and again and again and again and again, God promised it and reiterated it from generation to generation. And yet when it came to that, they failed to trust God's word. And you know what? If you fail to trust God's word, it will also bring you great sorrow. Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. Why did God bring me to this place? Well, maybe he brought you this place to go in, to move forward, to access his promises. And so we must be still. Because if we don't take time to meditate on what God has said, we won't have faith to trust him to do what he said. It's so vital that we dwell on the promises of God, that we give our attention to the Word of God, to what God has said. We need it at every point in our life to give that attention to the Word of God. And so Caleb said, "Be still." He stilled the people. And he said, Let's go forward. We can take it with God's help, is certainly his underlying understanding. Notice a little further, chapter 14, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, this is Caleb talking. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We're going to just eat them up. Not literally, but their defense, notice this, Caleb says, their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. And the congregation bade them stone them with stones. That's how the people responded. That's how the congregation of Israel responded. They said, let's stone Caleb. Let's stone Joshua. Let's pick up rocks and cast them on these men who believe God. What a shock. That brings us to the second point. Fear not and follow. Fear not and follow. Follow God. Follow his word. You know, first we must be still and take courage. God will keep his word. God's in control. We must meditate on what God has promised, what God has said. Oh, we need that. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41, 10. Caleb says, we don't need to fear. The Lord is with us. The last part of verse 9. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Are we going to cower and fear and say, well, it's too hard to serve God. It's too hard to raise our children for the Lord. Or it's too hard to live a godly life, to live holy. Well, it is too hard in our own strength. But if the Lord be with us, we need not fear. We can raise our children for the Lord. We can seek God's wisdom to have a home that honors and exalts Jesus. We can obey his commandments with his help. In our own strength, yeah, they're impossible. I can't live for God. I can't do it. But Lord, with your help, if you're on our side, if we are doing what is your will, then we have God's help. We have the power of God. So fear not and follow. Notice down a few verses here, verse 22 of chapter 14, Numbers 14, verse 22. "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Here's God saying, all right, you congregation, you who are wicked, you who do not believe my word, he says, all right. He says, you're not going to enter the land. You know what? You're not going to enter the land. That good blessing I had for you, you're not going to get it. And you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And God says, you're going to wander for 40 years, 1 year for every day those 12 spies were in the land. They spied it out for 40 days. You're going to wander for 40 years till everybody over 20 years old would die except Joshua and Caleb, because they believed God. That's what it says here, verse 23, Numbers 14. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Notice that. Would you read those three words, followed me fully? Go ahead, let's read it. Followed me fully. What a testimony. Caleb followed God fully. He will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so God says, fear not, but follow. And Caleb was an example of following the Lord fully. He responded with faith to what God had said. He wasn't ignorant of the giants. He wasn't ignoring the challenges, but he was trusting God. And that's what we must do. It's not about saying, you know, everything's fine, there's no trouble here, there's no challenge. No, hey, pray about those challenges. Recognize there are difficulties. It's not going to be easy to follow Jesus. But it's worth it. And as I step out believing God, God's help is right there with me. That's the amazing thing about the Christian life. It's massively impossible without God's help. But with Him, we can do all things. Christ who strengthens us. And so, number three, be patient and endure. Be patient and endure. Now, Caleb and Joshua were ready to go in. They believed God. But you know what? They had to endure the 40 years in the wilderness as well. Now, they didn't die as the others did. But they still had to go through those trials and those delays on the schedule for 40 years until the second approach to enter the promised land, when Moses died and Joshua was now the leader. And Joshua, with faith in God and with courage, led God's people into that land to fight those battles with God's help. So we must be patient and endure. Be patient and endure. There are others who may set out in 2021 to follow the Lord, but who will fall by the wayside. Will you still follow? Though no one join you, will you still serve Him? You know what? Caleb still served God. Now, he didn't enter right then, but he could still live for the Lord Jesus, and he did. He was faithful. He was a godly man, and Joshua here as well. Let's go to Hebrews 11. This is the hall of faith. Many different ones are mentioned here and their faith in God, but one of them is Moses. And of course, he grew up in Egypt, and he was the one that at 80 years of age, God commissioned to lead the people out of Egypt. At 80 years of age. In verse 24, Hebrews 11, verse 24, The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he grew up to be an adult, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. At this point in Egypt, the people of God were attacked. They were persecuted. They were under hard bondage. Their lives were difficult. You know what? Moses, who by adoption more or less grew up in Pharaoh's house, right? He grew up as a adopted son of Pharaoh. But the Bible says he put all that away. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather choosing to suffer the affliction with the people of God. And I want you to see down here, verse 26, esteeming, that means valuing, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Now think about this. Think about Christ. Now, we talk about Christ, we talk about Jesus and all those things. This is the promised one, the one that would come, all right? When Moses was alive, he hadn't come. But he was the promised one. And the Bible says here that Moses esteemed the reproach of the promised one to come as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, there's our word, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His eyes were on Jesus. His eyes were on the Lord. That's where his focus was. Where is your focus? Is it on the Lord Jesus Christ? We must be patient and endure. You know, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. There are many miles to be run. Keep living for Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be patient and endure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to with faith and courage to follow you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.